Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gina. But you make it bearable, hon. Let's just leave it at that. Amen. So we are on the book of John. We're on session 45. Doesn't the time fly? Amen. 45 and feeling fine. Session John chapter 5. So we've been in John chapter 5 for some time. That rhymes too. So we've been in the chapter 5 for a while, but we're starting to make our way towards the end. And so I want to mention a few things. And I'd mentioned last week, so I just want to read this again because we're going to continue on. If you weren't here last week, I'd mentioned John chapter 5 was a tough audience for Jesus. Matter of fact, it was those who just didn't. As a matter of fact, let's just read it. John 5, 18 and 19. So this is the crowd he was talking to. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. This is talking about Jesus. Because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also is calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, and then it goes into many verses we'll talk about real quick that he started speaking to them. So remember last week I said, man, talking about a tough crowd. I mean, you may have a crowd that doesn't, nobody, you know, not everybody agrees with you. Some people are trying to figure you out. Some are just wondering. A few may love you. But this whole crowd that he was talking to not only did not like him, man, they wanted to see him dead. So the boldness of Jesus so many times and what he was willing to say with authority to the crowds that actually is like, we don't like this guy. So Jesus still, he brought the truth. He's always bringing the truth. And we'd mentioned sometimes in love, when you're speaking the truth, there's just people that aren't going to like you. There's people that aren't going to appreciate it. And in this day and age in which we live in, that might be more so in the United States than in any hour, any day that we've ever experienced in this country. Amen. That's right. I was reading like in the 1880s, like 90% of people, 95% of people in the United States said, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. And so you think about kind of where we've gone, where church has got the attendance of church, where we're at now. But isn't that a perfect time? Even with low attendance, it doesn't matter. God, I believe, is going to move again in this day and age. Amen? He's still real. He still saves souls. He's still the answer to every problem, every struggle we have. And I thank God he's always looking. It says that he goes to and fro the earth looking for those, amen, whose heart is bent towards him. Those that are looking for the answer. He loves people's hearts out there who are looking for the answer. Doesn't matter the background. Doesn't matter who they are, right? He's looking for hearts that are seeking after him. They may not even know what they're seeking after. Doesn't matter where they're at. They could be around a group of people that don't believe in God, that don't care about anything for God. But if their heart, God can see that one heart yearning for him, and he will go and pick that one person out of that and that situation, that family, and say, this one is mine. You know, it just starts out, he just needs a heart that's seeking him. He just needs a heart that says, I know that I'm missing something. I know that there's more. I know that I don't have the answer, but I know there's an answer. I just don't know what it is. God is, even that cry, even that little bit of a voice, that little bit of faith, even in what they might not understand, God goes and looks for it. God will go and grab that person. Man, the preciousness of our faith. Just a little bit of faith. It just takes a little bit of faith. What did Jesus say? That if you have, let me just say this again, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, man, you can say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea. I'm so glad that our little bit of faith can strengthen us. Amen. Take us from glory to glory, from weakness to strength. And then as soon as you get into weakness to strength, there's another little weakness maybe you're dealing with. And he takes us from that weakness into strength. He's always there. He's always there encouraging us to grow in him. Amen. At my prime age of 56, I finally realized probably not going to get it all down by the time I draw my last breath. Amen. It won't all come together perfectly. There'll be always be things that I don't know, that I can't obtain. But as long as I'm drawing breath, I'm always going to be trying to obtain what God has for me. And how do I do that? By faith. Amen. You know Hebrews 11, it says, how do these are most of these people lived under the law. But it says that these people, amen, accomplished what God set out for them by faith. Amen, by faith. By Noah. By Noah saying, God saying, build this boat. And he's going, a boat? Well, we've never seen it rain yet. But yet, even as people mocked him, he built that boat. I don't know about you. I don't care what the world says. But for me and my family, we're building a boat. Amen. The boat upon the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. The wood of Jesus Christ. Building that boat out of faith. Out of faith, trusting him. Even though I don't understand what I see today. Could you imagine Noah in the day and age? You know, it says everybody's hearts was continually wicked. All of their thoughts. Could you imagine the day and age that Noah lived in? Yet he found favor in God's sight because of his faith. Not because he was such a shiny on the outside example of goodness. But it said because of his faith he believed. So he began to build a boat that everybody must have thought, what are you doing, Noah? You are the craziest guy in the world. You know, in this day and this age, as we're serving and walking with the Lord, the world says, what are you doing? You're crazy. Man, I'm walking with my Lord. Can I introduce you to the one that changed me? He still sets a captive free. Amen. He still leads us into still waters. He's still for us. Amen. So as the world says, what in the world are you doing, man? What in the world are you doing? I'm walking and trusting with my Lord. Amen. For this reason, therefore, Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, just a few things I'm going to go just mention that we've already talked about real quick, and then we'll hit some fresh scriptures. The Son of Man can do nothing. So after verse 19 up to verse 39, the son can do nothing in himself. He does what he sees the Father do. Remember we talked about that? How does he see what the Father does? Remember we talked about, does he have this special prism up to the Father? No, it was by the Holy Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit. He was God, but he was filled and indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And so he, through the Holy Spirit, communed with God. Amen. When he read the word, the Holy Spirit made that life just like it makes it life for you and I. Amen. When he laid hands on the sick, it was by the power of the Holy Spirit that people were healed, just like it would be today by the power of the Holy Spirit, individuals being healed. Amen. So Jesus heard God the same way that you and I would hear him today. And I had mentioned before that sometimes we think Jesus might have just, you know, maybe barely touched the ground with his feet. Right? But we know that he was a man, right? He had to get dressed every day. Amen. He had to put his shoes on. He had to use the restroom, believe it or not. He did. He was a man and all like fashioned like you and I, except he had no sin. And he was the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, I am doing what I see my Father do. And he says, all judgment has been given to the Son. Amen. And that was part of it also. He was one with his Father. He had the heart of his Father, so his judgments were holy and pure and righteous, just as his Father is. And so when he says that all judgment has been given to me, when we stand before God, it's not going to be on a scale of what you did that was good or bad. It's going to be, what did you do with Jesus? That's how you and I and anybody in this world, what did you do with my Son? What did you do with that precious sacrifice? And for you and I say, man, I believed by faith that he was the Son of God. I was born again. And yes, although the devil can slander and come against us, I never gave up, never gave in. Amen? Even at times we all have done that. Remember Elijah had that great victory and killed all those prophets of Baal, and the fire came down. And right after that, he was finding himself in the desert saying, I want to die. Even then, God's still with him. Amen. Didn't give up on him. All judgment has been given to the Son. And then it says, he who hears, and then Jesus says, he who hears me, he was saying, passes from death to life. Could you imagine him saying this to this crowd that desperately, you know, instead of these people that hated him, you know, he could be thinking, what could I do to get these people to like me? What could I get them to do to warm up to me? Instead of doing that, it's like he loaded up with more barrels. Yeah. He says there'll be a time where the voice, everybody in the tomb will hear my voice. And some will rise to eternal life and some to eternal damnation. Well, even in this crowd, he was not willing to compromise the truth. Didn't mean he didn't love him, but he didn't placate him. He didn't become shy or intimidated. He just continued to declare the truth, because the fact is only the truth can set us free. So him and that crowd, all of them that disliked him and hated him declaring the truth, what it would seem like, man, he's trying to make them to hate him. Look what he continues to say, the things that they hate him. No, he's saying the things that if they'll open their ears, open their eyes, would bring life. Speaking the truth in love is the thing that we've got to do today, saints. Speaking the truth in love. There's still a right and wrong. There's still a things that was righteousness and wickedness. There's truth. There's darkness and light. And so when we're born again, it says we come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Amen. So the best thing we can do with even those that don't want to hear it in love is to declare and speak the truth, because it will be the only thing that will set them free and save them. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. The resurrection of the dead. And then Jesus says, is greater than John the Baptist. He says, you sent people to John the Baptist to say, hey, do you still agree with this Jesus? You've been talking about him. And do you realize what he's saying, though, John? Do you realize the things he's saying? He says, so you sent people to John the Baptist, who you loved and agreed to, and went and saw. And there was like a revival. But he says, one greater than John the Baptist is here. Then Jesus tells the Jews, you haven't heard or seen him. God, wow. Think of these people. They have the law. Their whole life is around the law. Their whole life is around waiting for the Messiah to come to set them free from their bondage from the Roman Empire. And so he said, I've arrived. The Messiah has arrived. But you haven't seen God, because if you've seen me, you've seen God. So Jesus tells the Jews, you haven't heard or seen him, God. So what he says, if you think they didn't like him before, I'm sure that statement right there did not make him any friends, right? But he was speaking the truth. He was speaking the truth. And so we're going to continue on John chapter 5, verse 39. Let's read this. And it says, you examine, then he's talking to these religious leaders, the Jews, and probably the religious leaders that were there in that crowd. He says, you examine the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is those very scriptures that testify about me. So imagine again, if you're that crowd, those people, they're hearing this. And yet you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. And so I want to just talk about some of these scriptures. He says that you examine these scriptures, but they're talking about me. You think these scriptures bring life just because you read them, because you memorize them, but all it is just a religious, it's just a things that you do in religion. There's no relationship there. And we'll see, there's no love there. There's no truth there. You're thinking your much works and the things that you do will bring you life, but they testify about me. You remember, I'm just read from Luke 24. You remember the road to Emmaus, right? So Bill's not going to put it up there. So I just want to, Jesus has talked to them about scripture. So I have a lot of scripture. So let the scripture just soak over you tonight, amen. Wash over you. The scripture is powerful. You know, just the reading of the scripture in a group of people, did you know it can have a powerful effect? Amen. So the road of Emmaus, which is Luke 24, I'm going to start in verse 13. And it says, "Behold, on this very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, which was 60 stadia from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place," because Jesus had been crucified. "While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?' And they came to a stop." So they're walking and they came to a stop. You can imagine they're walking. He says, what's going on? And they stopped. You know, and they're like, and this is what they say. "And they came to stop, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, 'Are you possibly the only one living in Jerusalem who does not know about the things that have happened here in these days?' And he said to them, 'What sort of things?' Jesus says. And they said to him, 'Those about Jesus the Nazarene, who proved to be a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. But also some women among," they're continuing to talk to Jesus, "but also some women among us left us bewildered. When they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And so some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. And then he said to them, 'You foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to come into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things written about himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he gave the impression that he was going further. And so they strongly urged him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them, and it came about when he had reclined at the table with them that he took the bread and blessed it, and he broke it and began giving it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, 'Where were our hearts not burning within us when he was speaking to us on the road while he was explaining the scriptures to us?'" And so as he's walking with them, saints, instead of just saying, "Hey, it's me," he did exactly what it takes for you and I to believe in the Christ. He explained, he showed them from Moses through the scriptures, through the law, saying, this is what the Christ must go through. This is what the Christ is going to accomplish. And so he began to explain all the things from the scripture. And as they began to explain the scripture, he says, wasn't our hearts beginning to burn within us? Amen. We knew something was going on. And then he vanished. And they knew it was him, right? He broke bread and they realized, who is this? Amen. Aren't you glad that the whole thing is when we take in that bread, which he is the bread of life, right? And that bread that you are reading, the word of God, it can be broken into pieces, and we can start taking it piece by piece, truth by truth, bringing life into inside you and I. Bringing life. See, the way God reveals to us is the power of the Holy Spirit as he reveals the word of God. See, that's an example. He, like I said, he could have said, "It's me, boys. You're faithless." But, you know, he did exactly what the Holy Spirit does. He could have said, "Here's the proof," in which they would see, they would recognize. But he said, but they began to see the proof in the word of God. Man, the power of the word of God to change our lives through the Holy Spirit cannot be underestimated. It can burn like a fire in our hearts. It can burn like a fire in our hearts. Amen. As I was reading the word today, I started saying, speaking to the Lord and saying, Lord, this body of flesh I have, this brain, is capacity and lack of capacity. All of us, right? Whether, no matter your intellect, I'm saying, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, can you please get past this mind, past all the soulish stuff, and can, Lord, reveal your goodness to me? Lord, reveal your goodness to me. And as I was reading those things, as the Lord was encouraging me this morning, it was just a little break. He broke a little piece of bread off, like giving thanks and giving me that. Knowing that there's much more every day by day, amen. It never ends. That fire in our heart through the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit is something that we could walk in day by day. And I'm learning, I'm saying, Lord, when I'm in a struggle, please help me to be able to get past that veil of flesh to see the answer for that situation. So much of the time it doesn't happen. We don't realize, we just continue on in whatever our emotions are or trying to figure things out. And I'm learning, Lord said, wait a second, I've got an answer, a specific piece of bread for you for this situation. Do you want that? And so the Holy Spirit who lives in us, amen. Aren't you glad that he talks to you and that he wants to talk to you? He wants to speak to us, amen. And so what's goodness is the Lord, he loves us so much as he's saying, come closer to me. Let me show you something. Let me make this come alive. And what it is to start asking, say, Lord, help this to come alive. Whatever time you might spend in it, say, Lord, help this to be alive. I realize, Lord, this is more powerful than anything else in the world. It's the only thing that heals the brokenhearted. It's the only thing that sets the captive free. It's the only thing that heals the sick. It's the only thing, amen, that brings joy and strength and peace into a home is an understanding of this word of God. Amen. It's a piece of bread. It's a piece of bread. He broke the bread and gave thanks. And then they recognized it. And he was gone. Not realizing that through that whole time that they're on that road of Emmaus, he's breaking little pieces of bread and giving it to them. Amen. Little pieces of bread. This is who I am. This is what Moses said about me. This is another scripture. We're going to read a couple of those. Amen. Let me just read this verse. And so it says, and you examine the scriptures, and that you, it says in verse 40, and yet you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. And then this is the key right here in verse 41. It says, I do not receive glory from people, Jesus says, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. And so you know that's the big key, is that when God is love. So when you're born again, the Holy Spirit, you have all the capacity of love, right? We may have those things with the unrenewed mind, our mind that the Word of God changes, the pieces of bread that change us, and all our emotions and things that we're dealing with. You know what I'm trying to say? Does anybody here have any emotions? Sometimes. Don't lie to me. I know you're not. And so understand this, that Jesus did not say to them, the love of God is in yourselves, right? He says, you don't have the love of God in yourselves. So he's trying to, you can see he's not making friends here still, is he? The crowd isn't warming up to him. Man, the crowd is not warming up. This evangelistical crusade is looking like a dud. But he's given them the truth. He's given them to the truth. And some of those people, we don't know that at that time hated him. Maybe some of those are ones that came into the Jerusalem church later. Because you don't realize what the truth can do. At the time, the person may not want to hear it. But man, the truth, that if it's something that seed that stays in their heart, the seed will be watered by the Holy Spirit, amen? And then it'll start forming a stalk, and it'll growing, and they have fruit from that little seed. So you never know when that seed may become harvest, amen? So Jesus did not say you don't have the law of God in your heart. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say that you don't have the power of God. He didn't. We know they didn't have it, but that's not the term Jesus uses. He didn't say you don't have the knowledge of God. They had a knowledge of God. He says you don't have the love of God in you. And so let's go to Matthew 23, 5 and 7. And Jesus is once again, and this time I think he's in a mixed crowd of those that are listening. But once again, he always had those that were listening. He had all those that were skeptics. So he's talking to everybody, and once again, he's directly, this time, I believe he's talking directly to the scribes and Pharisees, the Jewish leaders at the time. And so Matthew 23, 5 and 7, he says this. So what did the religious leaders love? They had love, but it wasn't love of God in their heart. It says, and they do all their deeds to be noticed by other people, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. The phylacteries was a thing that they had like on their arm. Scriptures. It opened up, had scriptures. As time went on, that thing just got bigger and bigger and bigger, you know. So see how big all these scriptures, I have all these phylacteries. And lengthen the tassels on their garments, right? They loved doing that. It says, and they love the place of honor at banquets. So what it's saying is they don't have the love of God in their hearts, but they certainly have a love for something. We're all going to have a love of something in our hearts. Amen. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, he changes the loves in your heart, doesn't he? And he always is there to lead you into continually to grow in that love and that knowledge. And so they do all their deeds. I'm going to start in 5 again. They do all their deeds to be noticed by other people, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments, and they love the place of honor at banquets and the seats of honor in the synagogues, and personal greetings in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by the people. And so in that part, you're saying, hey, this is what they love. They don't have the love of God in their heart, but they have a love of being adored by the people. So their religion was just a religion of a position. This is who we are. And if their scripture, you know, there's scriptures in those gospels that says, hey, the reason why the Pharisees and Sadducees hated Jesus so much was because they were jealous of him. They felt like Jesus was getting the attention that they used to have or were accustomed to. But Jesus was calling people what? To his Father. Calling people to the love of the Father. See, the Pharisees and Sadducees were calling people to love of themselves, to their love. Jesus through us is calling what people to his love, his goodness. And then in verse 43, let's continue. And he says, and I have come in my Father's name. So we're back to John chapter 5, verse 43. It says, I have come in my Father's name, and you did not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you accept glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Verse 45, do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have put your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. So there we go again. He said he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Do you believe in the Word of God? Do you believe it's 100% true? Amen. I'll say it often, but in this day and age, that there's a pressure in society that the Word of God is foolishness, or at least that you would lose your confidence. And how is it? And how does he do that? Well, you can trust 80% of it, but not 100%. You can touch 90, you can trust 90% of it, but not 10. But then you have to ask yourself, what 20% do I not trust? And then what we find ourselves is picking and choosing what we believe and we don't believe. And what we don't realize is we're losing the power and the effect of the gospel, because it's the truth that sets us free. And so so many times when we pick and choose and say, I'm not going to believe this, but I'm going to believe this, and so forth. It's those things that we choose not to believe that might be the power to set you free. So much as in that crowd that Jesus was preaching to, we don't believe what he's saying, but the things that he was saying is exactly what would set them free. Saints, I want to have a heart. How about you? I'm learning, I'm growing, that all the word, all the counsel of God that God would use as a little piece of bread to give to me, that I say, yep, Lord, I believe that. Man, that might be some hard piece of bread to swallow, some truth. But it's going to set me free in an area of my life if I'll believe it. Believing the entire Word of God. Precious is the Word of God. Precious, man, precious is the Word of God. I don't understand why God said it that way, that he works through a church, that it would be the Word of God in these pages that would set us free. It seems foolish, right? But that's what that's how he set it up. The invisible God, but who revealed himself through Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's look at some of these scriptures while we got a few minutes of what Jesus is saying. Hey, Moses wrote about me. And some other scriptures. So Deuteronomy chapter 18. Maybe you've heard this one, but this is Moses speaking to the children of Israel. And he says in 18 verses 15, he says, The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen, to whom you shall listen. This is in accordance with everything that you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, do not let me hear the voice of the Lord my God again, and do not let me see this great fire anymore, or I will die. So when this is talking about when Moses was getting the Ten Commandments, remember? And there was fire and smoke, and they're terrified. So we don't want to hear the voice of God anymore. Verse 17, and the Lord said to me, they have spoken well. I will raise up for them a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them everything that I command him. And it shall come about that whoever does not listen to my words, which he speaks in my name, I myself will require it of him. I mean, they'll have to answer. You'll have to answer. So this right here, speaking of Jesus. They didn't know it'd be thousands of years later, right? Many, many years later, but right there prophesying that he's going to raise up a prophet like me, and you must listen to him or you'll have to give an account. Psalms 2, 7 and 9, let's get a few more in there before we wrap it up. Psalms, and it says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. So that who's that inheritance? That's you and I, saints. Man, we're Jesus' inheritance. He's the bridegroom. We're the bride, amen. We're the bride of Christ. All of us, the bride of Christ. He's the groom. We are his inheritance. And then this earth, when it's remade, the inheritance, when it's just all the people of God, amen, in perfection, and no more tears, no more pain. All of that done away with in perfect harmony, peace, and joy in the Lord. Amen. But you know, there's another scripture that's spoken that's very similar to this. So in Revelations 2, 26 and 27, it says this. Jesus is talking. He says, the one who overcomes, how many overcomers we got here? Hallelujah. How many overcomers do we have here? You overcome. You may be in a battle, but you overcome by your faith, by your testimony, and by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? So, Revelation, the one who overcomes and the one who keeps my deeds until the end, I will give him authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are shattered, as I also have received authority from my Father. So, those are very similar. Revelations 2, 26 and 27 is very similar to Psalms 2, 7 through 9. So what it's saying here is talking about Jesus in Psalms 2, and then in Revelation it's talking about us ruling and reigning with him. Talking about Jesus in Psalms 2, 7 and 9. And then it says, "In the one who overcomes, the one who keeps my deeds until the end, I will give him authority over the nations." That's you and I. How will that look like? I have no idea. I don't have a clue. But he does. And he shall rule them with a rod. Who's our ruler? Jesus. He will crush the enemy. And I also have received authority from my Father. We know he's received all authority. See, in Psalms 2, 7 and 9, We didn't realize then it was talking about Jesus, right? They didn't realize then that somebody was prophesying about the coming Messiah, and then taking those scriptures and also put him in Revelation chapter 2, saying, oh, by the way, you're going to rule and reign with me. By the way, now that the Messiah, now that Psalms 2 and 7 through 9 has been revealed, the mystery has been revealed, right, into salvation, it says, this also means that you, my dearly beloved, shall rule and reign with me. Amen. Amen and amen. Let me Revelation one more. That I put Revelation 3:15. That's wrong. That should say Genesis 3:15. Maybe you've heard this one. I will put hostility between you. This is after Adam and Eve, right, have eaten of the forbidden, right, of that forbidden fruit. And God is talking to them, and he's talking to Adam and Eve and the serpent. And he says, I will put hostility between you and the woman, who will you be in the serpent, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. So many Christian theologians, going back all the way to AD 60, said that this was talking about mankind and Jesus, Satan and mankind, Jesus. So he will strike his head, and you will strike his heel. So you and I on earth, man, battling the enemies, anybody ever had any grief, pain, struggles, defeats? That's him striking Satan, the god of this world, striking your heel. But when you come give your life to Jesus, amen, you realize that Jesus has struck the head of Satan and removed all his authority and all his power. Sometimes we still like our heel still is being struck by the enemy. Sometimes we wonder why things go on in our life that we don't realize. But it's only our heel being struck by the enemy. God struck his head. Amen. He is our victory. Amen. Would you rather have your head bashed in or your sore heel? Well, we have the sore heel. Satan has the bashed in skull. Hallelujah. That means we have authority. That means there's struggles. I was talking to somebody, you know, and this the scripture, but sometimes we don't like it. It says it's with great difficulty we enter the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean that your salvation is hard, but how many have walked with the Lord and realized there's a battle? Yeah, there's a battle here, and there's difficulties. But thank God they don't last forever. I like what Paul said, who went through so many difficulties. He says, these light afflictions, you've heard me say this many times, but I love it. It's a reminder. This is Paul, who went through many afflictions, prison, beatings, all this, stonings. He says, these light afflictions are nothing to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. I've had a lot of troubles, struggles, heartache, pain, like many of you, the Lord healing them, always in the process of healing. Or sometimes some things in life, it seems like there's always it depends what's going on, but always a little bit of a heartache there, depending on the situation. But the Lord is always looking to heal our hearts. He's always looking to heal our hearts. He's always looking to give us a little piece of bread, making it life. Can you stand up with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for life. Lord, I pray that the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would become fresh and new in our lives. That's what heals the inner man. That's what changes the soul. Lord, it's what helps us see right. It's what helps us to see things in the light of truth, our victory, our faith, our endurance, our power, our anointing, our encouragement, Lord, is all by through the Word of God, Lord, and by the saints and those that encourage around us. But it comes from the Word of God, where it says, encourage one another, even that coming from your Word. So, Lord, we thank you for the piece of bread. Lord, I pray that each one of us, through your Word of God, or however you speak to our hearts, that we'd get a piece of bread day by day, something that satisfies the soul, that can only thing that can satisfy the soul, Lord, So we love you. We praise you. We exalt you. We adore you. We belong to you. We worship you. We bow down before you. We honor you. We exalt you, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, he who's high and lifted up, who's rightfully adored in the heavens and rightfully adored here on earth by his saints. Amen. Rightfully adored. So we worship you and honor you. He who was and is to come. We praise you. We worship you. We honor you again, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Do you love the Lord? Amen. Thank you, Lord.